This is the Foreign Desk Explainer on Monocle 24. This week, Monocle's Hong Kong Bureau Chief James Chambers asks, is the New Zealand election finally something worth talking about?
Spend some time in New Zealand, and it soon becomes difficult to separate the country from its world-famous rugby team. If the All Blacks are not playing on the field, then some of the most recognisable players are presenting on TV or modelling on billboards. Even during an election year, rugby usually dominates the dining tables of this small country of 4.5 million people. However, as Kiwis head to the polls on the 23rd of September, a couple of surprise leadership changes for the two main parties have given voters something else to talk about.
And I'm personally humbled and gratified that after 8 years as Prime Minister, my personal support from the public remains high. I absolutely believe we can win the next election. But I do not believe that if you asked me if I was committed to serving out a fourth term, that I could look the public in the eye and say yes.
The first happened just before Christmas last year. New Zealand's long-serving Prime Minister, John Key, resigned as leader of the centre-right National Party after 10 years leading the party and 8 years leading the nation. This archetypal Kiwi bloke you can enjoy a pint with at the pub had decided to step down to spend more time with his family, despite being a shoo-in to win the next election. So in comes his replacement, former Deputy Prime Minister Bill English, a farm-raised career politician from way down south, who looks a little bit like Hollywood actor Sean Bean, only without the star appeal.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm pleased to announce that the National Party caucus has just elected me as the new leader of the party and Paula Bennett as the deputy leader.
Almost a decade under the same government makes any electorate start looking around for change. But as late as June this year, there was a feeling across the country that Prime Minister English would hold on to his position, mainly because Labour's Andrew Little, the leader of the main opposition, appeared to be an even more uninspiring choice than the incumbent. And even a secret tape recording scandal involving a national MP did very little to make the lacklustre centre-left opposition threat seem more viable. The only bright spot, so to speak, was the media circus surrounding a certain Winston Peters and the groundswell of public support for this populist third-party candidate. New Zealand's two main parties tend to rely on coalitions to govern these days. So the leader of New Zealand First found himself being cast in the potentially decisive role as kingmaker. And the only two questions that every Kiwi journalist wanted to ask Peters were, which man would he consider backing, English or Little? And what position in the next government would the former foreign minister demand this time around?
You, but is it a good result? You're not the kingmaker.
I never said I was. Do you recall?
You wanted it, though. You wanted to be holding the balance of power.
No, you're not a psychologist.
Electioneering in New Zealand officially started at the end of July. And as the posters and hoardings went up, Labour's popularity went down. Andrew Little's already low approval ratings nosedived in a string of polls, and it quickly became clear to everyone that Kiwis on all sides of the political spectrum had no interest in electing him leader of the country. Then within a week, the second big leadership change revved up New Zealand politics. Little announced his resignation and upstepped his deputy, Jacinda Ardern, an Auckland MP who at 37 years of age became the youngest leader of the Labour Party, and she's now seeking to become the country's youngest ever Prime Minister.
That will never ever be acceptable on our watch. We believe things can be better, and under Labour, they will be better.
Ardern's warm personality and positive messaging soon got tongues wagging about a potential Justin Trudeau of the South Pacific. And it didn't hurt matters that her partner and potential first man in waiting is a popular TV and radio presenter who likes nothing more than mixing surfing with a spot of fishing. But back then, 2 months did not seem like a long time to launch a new campaign and to win an election. But during August, Jacinda mania quickly swept across the country. This is the most energy I've seen in Kiwi politics at any time since the 1980s. That's what a political commentator told our correspondent when Monocle joined Jacinda on the campaign trail towards the end of August.
This is who Bill is debating. Because it's certainly not me.
Well, those are your policies.
These policies are coming from.
Those are your policies.
Well, we'll talk about it.
The following week, the two leaders held their first debate, a day after Labour's popularity in the polls overtook Nationals for the first time this election cycle. In fact, the last time Labour were head of National in the polls was in 2006, when the party was led by former Prime Minister Helen Clark. Of course, there's a lot that can still happen between now and when the voting cards get counted on the 23rd of September. And there is still a joker in the pack, with Winston Peters shuffling about on the sidelines, acting as a potential king or queen maker. But one thing's for sure, the outcome of this two-sided battle is all still to play for, and the result is now far less predictable than when the mighty All Blacks step out onto the field.
That was The Foreign Desk Explainer. My thanks to James Chambers. The Foreign Desk will be back on Saturday. Make sure you subscribe to get each new episode. For now, thanks for listening and goodbye.